From Proverbs 10 and verse 22. That's Proverbs 10 and verse 22. You all see it up there? Is it your confession? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's our confession. That's what we believe. And weak and poor would be sorrow, wouldn't it? Weak and poor is not it. In fact, the Bible actually, if you read through it, it says, let the weak, even if you're feeling weak, say something else. What do you say? Say, I'm strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. And you can plug it into every other promise that God has given to us. Say, I have a sound mind. Amen. You know, we hear so much about Alzheimer's nowadays and dementia and things like that. Well, you know, the Bible said those things were going to happen, and I believe they happened because of fear and hard feelings. I really do. I really believe that there's so much going on in our life, people that are unforgiving. Now you listen to me carefully. If you have an unforgiving heart, if there's somebody that's done you wrong and you still just can't think a nice thought about them, you could be in danger. In fact, you are in danger. And so I want to encourage you to get over it. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. Say, I can. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do everything good. You can apply the Word of God to every circumstance and every situation in your life. It'll work. We've been talking about the blessing. The blessing, not a blessing. The blessing that makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. That's the blessing we're talking about. That blessing started in the garden when God spoke his first words over man. It says, and he blessed them. And he blessed him. And he said, fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and have dominion. Blessing still in effect today. Now, here's what we're trying to learn here. We're learning about the blessing, but we're also trying to learn how we can order our lives in such a way that we release the blessing in our lives. Because it's possible, and we found out last week as we talked about Jacob, that he did not start out in such a way. He started out with fear in his life, and that fear actually motivated him. And a lot of times you'll have help from somebody else. He had help from his mama. His mama helped him to do something he shouldn't do. We love mamas, don't we? But you know, mamas don't take precedence over the Word of God. And sometimes we have to love our mamas. We can't ever quit doing that. We love them, but sometimes we have to separate ourselves from their counsel. Jacob would have done that. Jacob would have been blessed earlier. The blessing was his. God spoke it to him. He spoke it to him in times of trouble. Now, I want you to understand something. We've talked about the empowerment to have dominion. An empowerment to prosper. That's what the blessing is. To expand the kingdom of God throughout the world. But we also found out that sin will deter the blessing. I want to talk here just for a second about how sin deters the blessing. How does it do it? Well, in the mind of the religious person, sin deters the blessing because God gets mad. You sin and God gets mad and he says, no more blessing for you. That's a religious mind. And probably you grew up with that. I did. I grew up with a lot of things in my mind that made me think that God was kind of waiting to get me. Waiting to smite me. And I gave him lots of reasons to smite. But you know, that's not what God's really all about. He's not a smiter. God loves. And you think about Adam. What's the first thing he did when Adam messed up? He covered him. He shed the blood of an animal and covered Adam's nakedness. He covered him. And we looked at Jacob last week. And Jacob messed up. Jacob stole something that was his. Now, have you ever thought about doing that? He stole something that was his. His only problem was time, just waiting on God. So he stole something that was already his. And it, you know, Jacob goes through some bad times. And we talked a little bit about the fact that they're sowing and reaping. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. But listen, that's a law. That's not God's action at you. God's not waiting and saying, oh, he sowed a bad seed, I'm going to send a weed in there. Is he? No. You sow a weed seed, you get a weed. Isn't that right? You sow a radish seed, you don't get an apple. What do you get? A radish. Every seed produces after its kind. That's the law. That's just as sure, listen, that's just as sure as gravity. You know about the law of gravity? It works, doesn't it? Some of you know a little bit about the law of electricity. We had these switch boxes out last week because we were painting behind them, so we had them all hanging out and covers off of them, and some of them were out there. And I asked Aaron, I said, I guess maybe I better put those back in the wall before we have people in here, huh? He says, yeah, I think you better. Well, you know the reason for that is because the law concerning gravity works even on little kids. Electricity. Yeah, or electricity. Works even for little kids. If you stick your finger in there, I remember my sister had a bobby pin one time, and she spread it just right and stuck it in the light socket. And that had it, one of those little people used to fold up Kleenexes and make carnations out of them. She had a carnation, and she stuck it in there. Well, that carnation was all seared around the edge after she got it done. And of course, she got burned and shocked pretty good. Made her hair curly. It works. You can't stop it. You can't stop electricity from working. You short it out, it's going to hurt you. And it's like the blessing. In fact, we'll get into this deeper. The blessing, when the blessing is on Bob, and it is. If I get into a position where I'm getting myself contrary to the blessing that's on Bob, guess what? I get hurt. And Bob doesn't do it. It's just sowing and reaping. And you need to understand this. But here's the thing, and here's the main reason. People say, why do we want to keep the law? Well, why do you want to keep the law? Let's talk about it just a second. God's law is His Word. And we know that really law doesn't describe it best. Instruction does. Instruction. Why do you want to keep God's instructions? Well, God's instructions have to do with all physical law, but it also has to do with all spiritual law. And if I get myself afoul of those laws, what happens? Things don't work well. Have you ever tried to defy gravity? And the honest answer is everybody has, unless you've never fallen down. When you fall, you defy gravity for a second, and guess what? It doesn't work. You smack, you know, I got a gash in my head one time because I was trying to defy gravity. You don't have to intentionally try to do it, but you know, even if your feet slip out from under you, you're going to go down. Now, God does miracles. His angels have charge over us to keep us. But you know, if you go about doing things that are dumb, if you act stupid, you're going to pay consequences. And let me tell you, there's nothing dumber and there's nothing stupider than defying God's Word. Now, here is the other half of that. Not only do we reap according to what we sow, but we also open doors in our lives. And this is probably the number one reason why you should not allow yourself to be disobedient. is because you open a door to Satan in your life. And this is what happened to Jacob. Satan put fear in his life. He had doors in his life open. Fear comes from Satan. God hath not given to us a spirit of fear. How many of you know that scripture? 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But when we do open the door to the enemy, guess what? The enemy will come in many times. In fact, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. And the word for place in the King James Bible, place, is don't give any ground to him. Don't give him any place to get in. Don't allow him any opening. And as we've talked about this, we looked at Jacob last week. We're going to look at Joseph this week. How many know Joseph was the next to the youngest son of Jacob? He was his 11th son. And he was extremely precious to him. And there must have been a few years between Joseph and Benjamin. Benjamin was born finally, the 12th son, and Rachel died giving birth. So she named the child Benoni, which means son of my sorrows. But Jacob said, that doesn't sound too good. So he changed it to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. So Joseph was one of the sons, all 12 of the sons of Jacob were blessed. You say, why were they blessed? Well, because it came through Abraham. If you look at Genesis 17:7, and we'll just look at it on the screen, it says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, that's Abraham and God, and thy seed after thee in their generations. So see, Abraham was one generation, Isaac was a generation, Jacob was a generation, and then the 12 sons were also generations, and it doesn't stop there, does it? It goes on. Their seed, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So the blessing was in Judah, the blessing was in Reuben, the blessing was in Simeon, the blessing was in Levi, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali, was in all of the sons, right? I'm sorry for any I left out. I just named the ones that came to me quickly. They all had the blessing on them. The blessing continues. Joseph has a blessing on him. And you know, I heard someone say one time that Joseph was a type, and he was, of Jesus. He was a type of Jesus. But you know, as with all types, they're not perfect. And a lot of preachers just completely overlook the problems Joseph had. Did Joseph have problems? He had some problems. He had some problems. He was 17 years old. In fact, we'll read it. Genesis 37:2 says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Genesis 37:5 says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, so far, what has Joseph done wrong that you can see? He what? An evil report. Everybody say evil report. Say debah. Debah. That's a Hebrew word for an evil report. Or it actually was debah ra. Debah is a demeaning report. Debah. One of the things that we have studied as we have learned about our roots, Hebrew roots, is Lashon Hara. Lashon is what? If I were to say, stick your Lashon out at me, you'd all get it, wouldn't it? Your tongue. Lashon. Lashon is your tongue. A Lashon. Hara means the evil. The evil tongue. The evil tongue. Well, what kind of a tongue would bring an evil report? an evil tongue. Lashon hara. Now, this is one thing that I believe maybe our Jewish brothers and sisters know more about than most Christians do. Now, one of the things that we were brought up in was the Word of Faith movement. Henrietta and I were really taught in the Word of Faith movement. And one of the strengths of that movement was teaching about the power of our words. What Bob said to us today, when he talked about even what we sing, see, is that we can enter in to something by what we say through following what somebody else said. Now, would that be an example of Lashon Hara? Why? What? Why is it an evil report? Because it's... Huh?
Poor and weak.
That's right. It's poor and weak. And here's the thing that separates evil from good is light and darkness, God and the devil. Who said you were poor and weak? The devil. We'd sing a song. Who was it wrote that song? Or sang that song so well? Whose report will you believe? It starts out this big old baritone voice. Whose report will you believe? And the answer is, we will believe the report of the Lord. Amen? We believe the Word. We believe what God says. And this is what we've got to understand. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it bad when somebody's doing something wrong to tell on them? We have names for them. We call them narcs, right? Stool pigeons, tattletales. See, you get into all the different cultures, don't you? Is it wrong? Well, yes, it is. Say, now, wait a second. Well, now, let's just take it with Joseph. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph, 17 years old, and he's working with, if I remember right, it's Gad and Asher and Naphtali. He's working with these sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. There's four of them. He's working with them. And he goes back to his dad every time he sees something amiss. Now, people like to say, well, they probably were beating the sheep. But I kind of doubt that. I kind of think what it was, and we get a hint on this a little later on, I kind of think the guys maybe weren't paying so much attention to the sheep as they were to the nightlife in the towns nearby. Stuff like that. Maybe the ladies. And Joseph, 17 years old, goes immediately to Abba. Hey, Abba. You know what? You know what Gad did? Now, sounds harmless, doesn't it? Let's look at another thing he did. He said he dreamed a dream. He dreamed a dream. Well, have you ever had a dream? Did you ever have a dream that you really felt like was from God? I have to say that most of the time my dreams, if they're from God, I haven't gotten it. I don't get it at all. Most of my dreams are stupid dreams, you know. But, you know, I'd like to have dreams from God. I'd like to quit having stupid dreams that don't have any meaning and that I spend all night trying to do something I can't get done. You ever have a dream like that? Maybe the Lord's trying to show me something. I don't know. But if they're from God, like I say, I haven't gotten the interpretation. So I don't think they are. I just don't believe they're from God. But Joseph had a dream, and he dreamed that they were out in the field cutting wheat, and they were putting the wheat into shocks and standing the shocks up. And Joseph said, when I stood my shock up, said all of you guys' shocks, all the other brothers' shocks, bowed down to my shock. They all bowed down to the grain that I had set up. And it made these brothers hate him even more. Well, did he have a dream from God? I believe he did. I believe it was prophetic. But let me say something to you about what God says and what you tell. Sometimes God does show us things in dreams. Sometimes He shows us things in our spirit. Sometimes He may show you something about someone. But oh boy, if you go off telling about it. Some things aren't for publication. Some dreams aren't for publication. Before you publish anything that God tells you, ask Him. Is this for now? Is this to be spoken out? Do you remember He told the prophets even, don't write that. That's not for now. Don't write it. I'm showing you, but don't you write it. You keep it quiet. And many, many times the things that God shows us are to be pondered, meditated upon. But the thing that we want to get to here was that Joseph entered into an evil report. Sowing and reaping. Giving the devil ground. Was he blessed? Oh my, yes, he was blessed. In fact, when the blessing starts coming on Jacob, we see it so greatly, but I think we see it even more on Joseph. The blessing just emanates from this young man. No, Lashon Hara is more than tattling. Gossip, slander, murmuring about someone, even if it's true. Lashon Hara. Evil words that undercut character, diminish someone in another's eyes. That's Lashon Hara. Could be small things. Can be small things. Listen to what God says. Leviticus 19:16. He says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Somebody said, oh, a little gossip. The fact that we tell jokes all the time about gossip. I remember the joke about the three preachers, you know. Three preachers that were together at a convention, and one of the preachers got to talking to the others, and he says, you know, I'm feeling really close to you guys. He says, I feel like, you know, the Bible says we should confess to one another. And he says, I just want to confess to you that I have a little problem with drinking. He says, I spend a little too much time with alcohol. The other said, okay, brother, we'll pray for you. The other fellow said, well, he says, I got to tell you, sometimes my language is not what it ought to be. He says, I've given to profanity. They all stopped and said, okay, we'll pray for you. I kept waiting for the third one. I said, well, don't you have anything? And he said, well, yeah. He said, I have problems with gossip and I can hardly wait to get home. So you see, that's the way we look at it, kind of as harmless gossip. But you know, gossip's a horrible thing. I remember the story that was told one time, and it was told as true, I assume that it was, about a minister that had a lady in his congregation, a rather attractive lady in his congregation, and suddenly people started noticing the minister's car near her house a lot, parked out in front. And as people are wont to do, they began to talk about it. And they talked about it. Until they nearly destroyed the man's ministry. And just before he was asked to leave the congregation by the elders, it was found out that the woman he had been visiting had a terminal disease. And he had been going and ministering to her every day for this terminal disease. And after she died, some of the people in the church that had started the gossip came to him. And they said, well, we're so sorry. We're so sorry for what we did. We made a wrong assumption and we talked about it. And we're so sorry we did it. And we'd do anything to make it right. And he said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a feather pillow. And I want you to take it outside. And I want you to cut it open and shake it. So they did. And he says, now pick up the feathers. And they said, but the wind's taken them and we'll never be able to get them all. And he said, well, that's what you can do about gossip once it gets started. And I don't know if you remember, but there have been a couple of things in Washington recently where people have spread bad news. And I remember one particular congressman asked, he said, how can I ever get back my good name? How can I ever recover it? Well, gossip has a way of diminishing people in a way that it is irrecoverable. This is why we must guard against it. Why? Because the blessing will be held up if you allow that to persist in your life. We have a report of that going on in Numbers 13:32 when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. They'd been in the wilderness now nearly 2 years, and Moses sent 10 spies up into or 12 spies up into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And he said, go and spy out the land that the Lord's given you and bring us back a report of it. He said, go and see if the fruit there is good. Go and see there if there's plenty of water and if everything's as the Lord said. And so they did. They went out. But what they came back with was not what they were told to check out, but they went and they looked at the inhabitants of the land. Do you remember that? And they looked at the problems, the circumstances. And the Bible says they came back and they brought an evil report to the children of Israel. 10 of the spies. Caleb and Joshua said, no, no, this is a good land just like God said it was. The other guy says, yeah, but there's giants there. Yeah, but we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We aren't able to do it. And they spread, the Bible said, let me just read it to you. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that is eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giant, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we were in their sight. 14th chapter, first verse says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, there's 10 people come back with the Bible says, an evil report. Lashon hara. They come back with an evil tongue. They come back speaking an evil report. And all the congregation, say all the congregation. Somebody tell me how many people that included, approximately. How many? 3 million? 2.5 to 3 million people. It's conservative estimates. That was some kind of a crying party, wasn't it? They lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Well, what happened? What was the results of it? 10 leaders that went and brought back an evil report, a plague came into the camp, and those 10 died in the plague, sowing and reaping. They opened the door to the enemy. What happened to the congregation? They all died in the wilderness. It took them 40 years to do it. Oh, when you begin to think about the cost of an evil report, of speaking evil, everybody ought to be saying, I'm going to bite my tongue. I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm going to watch my tongue more closely than I ever have. The consequences of Lashon Hara, the old ancient rabbi said this, it kills three. Three are killed by every evil report. There's the one who speaks the evil report with his mouth, the one with the evil tongue, the one who hears and receives the evil report. He's defiled by it. Who else? The one about whom the evil report is spoken. Three die. Three die. Can anybody deny that that's the truth? It's obviously the truth. Remember, sin deters the blessing by giving Hasatan access into your life, inroads into your life. And the remedy? wouldn't be good for me to just talk about how bad it is, but there's a remedy to it. What's the remedy? Somebody raise your hand and say, I know the answer. What is the remedy? Watch what you say. Shut your mouth if you can't say. If you can't say something good, say nothing at all, right?
Do what Jesus said.
That's right. Do what? That's right. You'll always be speaking good things if you only do what Jesus said. Now, remember, it kills three. What happens if you're sitting with somebody and they start this with you? They start to tell you something. Usually it comes up like this. You know, I don't normally ever do this, but I just feel like I need to tell you this so that we can agree in prayer about this matter. Have you ever had that happen to you? That's the way the religious folk do it. Now, there's others that say, you know, I need to tell you this for your own good. You need to know this. You just need to know it. Or sometimes it's not so coy at all. I just say, man, have I got some juicy gossip for you. Now, what are you going to do then? See, this is important. Because remember, it stops the blessing. It stops the blessing. You can enter into sin by receiving it, by hearing it. Now, is it possible that it could happen sometime, that it comes out before you can do anything about it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you do with it? You have to do what the Word of God says. Cast down that imagination. Cast it down. But I want to talk to you just for a second about, you know, if I walk up to you and start to tell you something. By the way, you all have my permission to do this. You won't be disrespectful to me at all to do this. To just say, you know, I don't want to hear that. I really don't want to hear it. And is everybody tempted by this? Absolutely. There's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. So you need to know this is something that's very easy to do. And we do it a lot of times, we do it without really thinking. And by the way, you don't have to do it by talking. You don't have to do it by talking at all. You can do it with body language. Did you know that? How might you do it? Michaela, how do you think you might do it with body language? If somebody says something and there's somebody else nearby and what they've said, you might want to gossip about what? How might you do that with body language? You might do it like this. You ever do that? When somebody's talking? What does that do? Still diminishes another person in someone's eyes. Right? Body language could do it. What are we trying to stay away from? Things that deter the blessing of God. Sometimes, and I've done this, I can tell you this is possible, especially in a group. Sometimes I just turn around and walk away. Now, I want to tell you that I don't believe that's the best. I believe that's a bit cowardly. Stories told about some people that were working together and they had a fire drill. Of course, when there's a fire drill, you know, everybody leaves their post and goes outside and stands around. And they're all standing in a group out there waiting for the all clear. And one of the people in the group says, hey, did you hear about Fred? He's been seeing a lot of so-and-so. And of course, you know, it's already out there. But somebody else in the group said, hey, that's a personal matter. Let's not be talking about anybody's personal life. It stopped it. Right there. Well, a tiny bit uncomfortable, but you know what? A whole lot better than letting it go, right? How many of you think you might get that bold? I had a friend that did like this. He'd say, hey, wait a second. Does that look like a garbage can? It works. Somebody will shut real quick when you do that. So, verbal abuse, public humiliation, defamation of character, false vows, saying, boy, this is true. I, you know, This is the truth, but you know it's not. Slander, tale-bearing, profanity, blasphemy, informing, cursing. Here's one that you might know. False flattery. That's an evil tongue too, isn't it? False flattery. You know, don't say more than... How was it Jesus said that? Let your conversation be... What? Yea and nay, yes and no. For whatsoever cometh more than this is of sin. Mockery. Lying. I think that's a good way. Okay, let's not talk about anybody's personal life. But Joseph went straight to Abba. Went straight to Jacob. Now, Matthew 18 is a great, great chapter. If you haven't read Matthew 18 for a while, I just challenge you to go back in and read it. It talks about forgiveness. It talks about how you handle it. Jesus said this in Matthew 18, verse 15. He said, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. What could Joseph have done? He's 17 now. I recognize it might not have worked, but what should he have done according to the Word of God? Huh? He should have went to Gad or Asher or Naphtali and said, hey boys, this is not right. You know, Dad wouldn't approve of this, right? I'm coming to you because I care about you. I'm not coming to you as a younger brother trying to take authority over you. I'm coming to one as loves you and cares about you. And I see the damaging results of what you're doing. Could you see him doing that? Would that necessarily work? No. No. As a matter of fact, here it says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, verse 16, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So what should he have done after that if they didn't hear? Well, he should have went and got Judah and said, Judah, I need your help, you know. I'm concerned about these fellas. Instead, what he did, you remember, he's not only doing that, but he's also telling them about how I'm going to rule over you until they won't hear him. The 17th verse says, if he shall neglect to hear them, the two that you take with you, then tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And I've taught on this a lot because the average idea the religious people have about this is, excommunicate him. Have you ever heard that? They'll excommunicate him. It's not what I read in that. How did Jesus treat publicans? How did he treat heathen men? That's the way you're supposed to treat people. Heathens and publicans. Well, one publican was Matthew, and he made him one of his apostles. Now, true, he had to come to a place of repentance, didn't he? But you know, the point that I'm trying to make is, if somebody becomes as a heathen man and a publican to you, then you're supposed to be trying to win them all the more. You just figure, you know, they may be really lost. I need to really go after them now. Joseph sowed and Joseph reaped. He sowed unkindness. What did he reap? He was cast into a pit. And the only reason he was cast into a pit was because Simeon said, let's cast him into a pit. Or Reuben said, let's cast him into a pit. Let's not kill him. But Judah came along and said, no, let's not kill him, let's sell him. And so they sold him to the Midianites. That wasn't very kind. How would you like to be 17 and all of a sudden you're sold to some slave trader? Taken down to Egypt. And he was put in Potiphar's house. Now, I want you to notice what happens in Potiphar's house. We haven't talked about this yet, but Jacob gave Joseph a coat of many colors. Does anybody know what the coat represents? This is another reason his brothers hated him. What's the coat represent? It's a mantle. That's right, the blessing. Remember the blessing that we talked about with Esau? He had a mantle. A hairy mantle. A woolen mantle is what this was that he gave unto him. Coat of many colors makes you think it probably looked like a rainbow, but it really didn't look like that. What it was richly woven with different colors of threads. It was extremely valuable in that time. But the brothers took that away from him and splattered blood on it. His authority. That was the blessing. It was a sign of the blessing. He goes down into Egypt and he goes to Potiphar's house. Potiphar was the head of the butchers. And he's in Potiphar's house. And I mean to tell you, the blessing is just working. It's just emanating from him. The blessing just coming out. And Potiphar sees this in this young man. Remember, he's 17. Maybe 18 by this time, but he's just a kid. He sees this and he says, man, I can put this. Remember, take dominion, the Bible says, as part of the blessing. Have dominion. He says, I can put things into this boy's hands and he'll do it right. He took care of everything in Potiphar's house. Everything. Potiphar didn't know what he had anymore, the Bible said, except all he cared about was the food he put in his own mouth. Because he knew Joseph was taking... The blessing was working already. This is what I want you to see. Sin was giving an inroad to the enemy. But the blessing's still working. Now what did he do? He sowed unkindness. Now what happens in Potiphar's house? Does he reap some unkindness? Yeah. Because Potiphar's wife had eyes for this young Hebrew slave. And she starts trying to seduce him. And when he rejects her, then she screams and acts like he had attacked her. So what does he get? He's still reaping, isn't he? He reaps a prison house, a cell in a prison. He goes into the prison. Now, you don't know this, but this took about over 20 years he spent from the time he left his brothers until the time he's set free. But in the prison now, he's in prison, and the warden of the prison sees the blessing on this young man. He again turns everything about the prison over to this, nowadays they call them trustees. He gives him actually freedom to do things in the prison. And he puts him over the rest of the prisoners. Everything's in his hand. The blessing's working. But you see, he's still having problems. Now we know that he gets out. Right? But I want you to know that all during this time, God hadn't forgotten him. Say, God didn't forget Joseph. Say, God doesn't forget me. He hadn't forgotten me. Have you made any mistakes? Have you done some Lashon Hara? You know, you're different than most people if you haven't. If it doesn't come out of your mouth. And some people, you know, it's the hardest thing for them to get it. And for people who have a certain loquaciousness about them. Everybody know what loquaciousness is? It's a talking person. One who talks a lot. One who likes to talk. One who can take a few words and expand it into a whole speech. Right? They're loquacious. And for people that speak a lot, they have the most trouble with it. And for some reason, they're the people that have the most trouble shutting up long enough to hear a message like this and actually allowing it to sink in and get some good out of it. Like I say, we were brought up under the word of faith. And one of the things that the word of faith said, speak the word and don't speak evil of anyone. It was in there. It was some of the best teaching that I'd ever had about this until I came into this teaching about Lashon Hara. God didn't forget you, but He loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. Did you know that? I said, God loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. If you're having a problem with your tongue, you may have to reap some things. He won't pull you out of your prison until you learn some lessons. But the blessing is working just the same. I say, let's make it quick. Amen? Let's do a quick work on learning to control the tongue. Let's do a quick work on it. Listen to what the Scripture says. And we're just about through, but I want you to just mark these scriptures. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Let's say that again. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. What's another way of saying that? Did you hear what Tammy said? If you talk a lot, you're likely to say something you shouldn't. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Say, I'm wise. I'm wise. So what is that telling you about me? I'm going to refrain my lips. James 1:26 says this, if any man among you seemeth to be religious. Now we talk about religion a lot. But James actually defines true religion and undefiled as visiting the widows in their affliction, helping those that are in trouble, the fatherless. But the religion that's being spoken of right here is the religion of an outward show of piety. How many of you know it's easy to do that? Jesus talked to those kind of people all the time. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! In Wiest's translation, Wiest is a great Greek scholar, Wiest says, players on the stage of life. People just putting on an act. Says, if any man is this way, religious, but bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion, his show of religion is vain. It's just emptiness. Means nothing. Listen to Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the upright. By what? The blessing of the upright. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Who can remember a World War II slogan? They used to have posters around during World War II. Now, I'm not old enough to really remember the posters, but I remember seeing them after the fact. Loose lips sink ships was one of the posters that was around. Loose lips sink ships. Well, that's kind of the same thing as a city being overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. I believe it's time for us to enter into what the Word says. The Word says in Psalm 141:3, and we can ask. How many of you know you can ask? And if you doubt not, you will receive what you ask. Would you ask the Lord this? Say it with me. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's God's will? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Psalm 19:14 goes right along with it. Let's say that together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And finally today, I want to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. This was part of the Haftarah reading. No, it actually was not. It's something that Henrietta and I are reading through the prophets this year. So we read it this week, but it stuck with me. I began to think about it differently than I have before. Isaiah spent some time in the Spirit before the Lord. And he said, I was set in this place, and he said, and I saw the Lord. He said, I saw Yahweh, and he was high and lifted up. And his glory filled the temple. And God says, who will go for me and whom shall I send? And Isaiah says in verse 5, he said, "Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips." He's making confession before God now. "I'm a man of unclean lips." What does that mean? Well, you know, always before I've just thought he's just saying, "Oh, I'm human." Well, maybe that's part of it. But you know what? I think he was a man of unclean lips. I think he recognized Lashon Hara in himself. I think he recognized, and see, this is something we've done. We talk about things like this as a problem. Gossip's a problem. No, gossip's a sin. Lashon Hara is very serious. In fact, Jewish rabbis say that there's three sins that are more serious than others: murder, adultery, and Lashon Hara. Is it possible? I don't know. But I want to tell you something. I believe there's great seriousness that we've not seen. And so Isaiah says this. He says, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Do we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips? You know, that's just about what newscasts are anymore, isn't it? Unclean. Evil work, evil tongue. Don't you get tired of hearing all the scandal about everybody? I tell you what, if I never heard another report about Tiger Woods, it'd be too soon. Poor guy. Made mistakes. Pray for him. Shut up about what he's done. Pray for him. Amen? He says, "I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. And he said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." How many of you believe God can cleanse our mouth? Oh, I'm so glad he doesn't have to wash my mouth out with soap. I had that happen a time or two. Did any of you ever have that happen? Of course, I didn't need it, but I did have it happen. No, it's not a good thing, is it? But he does with fire. With the fire of holiness, he'll cleanse us. And today, you know, I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do know that the temptations, according to the Scripture, are for everyone, right? All men are tempted the same. And I want you to be free. Why? Because I believe in the blessing. Say the blessing. The blessing. Let's go back to Proverbs 10:22. The blessing maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Don't you want that blessing to flow in your life? Is that what you desire more than anything, is that the blessing would flow? Praise God. Well, stand on your feet. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. I don't know how the Lord would do this, but I do know this. If he could purge Isaiah's lips, he can purge mine. You believe that? I believe he's ready to purge us. So lift your hands to him today. You remember what he said? He said, "Who will go for me? Whom can I send, and who will go for me?" And Isaiah starts out looking at himself, and he sees this. First thing he sees is an evil tongue, an unclean mouth. And Lord, we recognize the things that we have done, the things that we have said. Lord, they're not pleasing in your sight. And we've said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." And so today, Father, we ask you, purge us. Purge us, Father. Purge us and cleanse us. Make us fit that we might say, even as Isaiah did, "Hineni, here am I, send me. Hineni, send me, Lord." I pray for my brothers and sisters today, all of those who who sit under the sound of this message and those who hear it by CD or on the internet. I pray for each and every one, Father, that a cleansing will take place. Father, that the blessing might be free to move in our lives, that we might receive the blessing of Abraham, that we might receive the blessing which is upon us, that we might free it in our lives to move forth. That same blessing that was upon Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the 12 sons of Israel. The blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. The blessing that blesses us and causes those around us to be blessed. The blessing that works in the midst of unity and in the midst of the anointing. That same blessing, the blessing, Lord, we want it free in our lives. Let nothing obstruct it. No sin. No obstacle. We yield ourselves to you. Purge us. We thank you for it. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. And now may Yahweh bless you. Keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lifting up the light of His countenance upon you. Giving you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.